Jamuna Tira Vanna Chani Jamuna Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Oh, Premanandi, all glorious to Sam on the bodies, all glorious to Sam on the bodies, all glorious to Sam on the bodies, all glorious to Sri Guru, Sri Guru, all glorious to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswata Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyamari Pashtacha Desha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 84, Verse 14, Sri Soka Uvacha, Nisamyetam Bhagavataha, Krishnasya Kunta Medhasaha, Vachadu Anvayam Vipras Tushnim Asan Brahmadhyaha.
Jesus.
Sri Sukha Uvacha. Sukadeva Goswami said, Nishamya, hearing, Ittam, such, Bhagavata, of the Supreme Lord, Krishnasya, Krishna, Akunta, unrestricted, Medasaha, whose wisdom, Vacha, the words, Duranvayam, difficult to comprehend, Vipra, the learned Brahmanas, Tushnim, silent, Asam, were, Brahmat, unsteady, Dia, their minds. Translation, Sukadeva Goswami said, hearing such unfathomable words from the unlimitedly wise Lord Krishna, the learned Brahmanas remain silent, their minds bewildered. Text 15, for some time the sages pondered the Supreme Lord's behavior, which resembled that of a subordinate living being. They concluded that he was acting this way to instruct the people in general. Thus they smiled and spoke to him, the Supreme, the spiritual master of the universe. Purport, Sridhar Swami explains the word Ishitavyata as referring to one's not being a controller, in other words, to being under the law of karma, obliged to work and experience the results of one's work. While addressing the sages, Lord Krishna accepted the role of a subordinate living being who emphasized the importance of hearing and serving saintly Vaishnavas. The personality of Godhead is also the supreme teacher of spiritual surrender. The great sages said, your power of illusion has totally bewildered us, the most exalted knowers of the truth and leaders among the universal creators. How amazing is the behavior of the Supreme Lord. He covers himself with his human-like activities and pretends to be subject to superior control. Purport, the sages have characterized the Lord's statements as inscrutable or duranvayam. How this is so is stated here. His words and activities bewilder even the most learned when he plays at subordinating himself to his own servants. So, in the previous verses, Krishna addressed the sages, and of course, he was speaking about how the devotees are purifying, etc. And he meant that in direct praise of those sages. So by glorifying devotees and how they purify the universe, he was actually praising those sages who had appeared there suddenly. Now the sages themselves came not to hear praises, but to take darshan of Supreme Lord. And then here they're hearing how the sages themselves are so great. The Lord is praising them. So this looks a little bit strange. And that's why it says here that the sages were bewildered. Why is it the Supreme Lord is praising us when we come to praise Him? And he's talking about how it's due to the sages that finally we can get rid of our material conception, etc., and then understand Supreme Lord as if Krishna himself is just like an ordinary human being. So this is the bewildering factor in the Lord's behavior, that he is acting like a devotee of the Lord, and he's praising the other devotees, and he's not acting like the Supreme Lord. So, this is, of course, one characteristic of the Supreme Lord, particularly in the form of Krishna. The other forms of the Lord generally display a lot of power, such as Nrsimhadev. He displays his power of ripping apart Hiranyakasipu, or Varaha fights with Hiranyaksha and lifts the earth out of the Garbhadak ocean. So many forms of the Lord show great powers, so automatically people worship them as the Supreme Lord. And there's no misunderstanding about that. And those forms of the Lord themselves don't act like ordinary human beings in most cases. But with Krishna, we find that often he is acting like an ordinary human being, as if he were not the Supreme Lord. Right? And we see many instances of that in his pastimes. And particularly, when he's in Vrindavan, he shows less powers explicitly than when he's in Dwarka. So there, none of the people of Vrindavan think of Krishna as the Supreme Lord at all. And even if he shows powers, they don't accept them as being indications that he is Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord as Krishna often hides his powers, and he does, one of the ways he does that, of course, is to act like a normal human being, and also to speak like a normal human being. And in other words, he will say that I am just an ordinary human being, and I have to serve the sages, I have to get spiritual advancement, I have to get rid of my material identity and take to spiritual life, and I have to get the mercy of sages, etc. So this is a little bit unusual for the Supreme Lord to say, but with Krishna it's nothing extraordinary. He always acts like this, quite a normal way. Particularly, of course, when he's in Dwarka, because he shows both sides, he is at once, they understand he is Supreme Lord, but then he may act like this. In Vrindavan, there's not such a contradiction, because nobody thinks of him as Supreme Lord, and he doesn't say anything about that, so he just acts like a normal human being. So there doesn't seem to be such a contradiction. But when he's in Dwarka, then people recognize him as Supreme Lord, and he often acts like the Supreme Lord also. But then sometimes he acts opposite, like this, and then it becomes a little confusing for people. How can the Supreme Lord do this? But this is one of the, you can say, the intrinsic qualities of Krishna that also separate him from the other forms of the Lord. He often acts in a like a human being, and that creates some sweetness in relationship with his devotees, because he acts like a normal human being. So in other words, even though Krishna in Dwarka is recognized as Supreme Lord, at the same time there is some sweetness involved in his conduct with other persons and with the devotees there. So still sweetness is manifest in his pastimes in Dwarka. The Lord always has, intrinsically, because he is Supreme Lord, he has all powers. It's just a matter of when he wants to show those powers in particular ways. Of course, naturally, because he is the Lord, even if he hides his powers, there is some manifestation of something extraordinary about him. But not necessarily connected with power. So in Vrindavan, though he hides his powers, something extraordinary takes place, and that is that display of sweetness is such that it also bewilders the whole world, and it is very astonishing for everyone how Krishna is so sweet. So that itself is a manifestation of Krishna's supreme qualities of sweetness. Most people are attracted to powerful aspects of the Lord, and they associate that with the Supreme Lord. So therefore, when they don't see those powers, they become a little bit bewildered or puzzled or whatever, or confused. And it's because of this that in Vrindavan, Brahma became confused, because he understood Krishna is Supreme Lord because, he got the message from the milk ocean that the Lord would appear, and then the Lord appeared as in the prison of Kamsa, etc. So he knew the whole story of the Lord's coming into this world due to the prayers of the Devatas. So he was expecting the Lord to show some sort of greatness and power, etc., and that the people would respect him as such.
But when he saw the people of Vrindavan, like the cowherd boys, interacting as if he was not the Lord, that became very confusing for him. How can he be the Supreme? And he didn't look like the Supreme Lord also, because he was just a small boy. So it was confusing for Brahma. His expectation was one thing, and then what he saw was something completely different. His form was not the Supreme Lord. His actions were not that of the Supreme Lord that he was expecting, at least. So therefore, confusion and bewilderment. And he even began to doubt. I wonder if he's the Supreme Lord after all. And that's why he wanted to test him. And therefore he stole the calves and the cowherd boys, etc. So his doubt took the form of this action, which was like an offense against the Supreme Lord. So most people expect some show of greatness. So the sages also, we see here, expect that. They expect Krishna to show his, you know, powers, etc., and to act as Supreme Lord when he meets these sages, which indicates that their consciousness of Supreme Lord is on one level and is quite different from the people of Vrindavan. So, in other words, they appreciate the Lord with his powerful aspect. So, they do not see that here. And why? Because this is Krishna's particular quality, that he often acts like a human being. Definitely, he shows powers, a lot of powers in Dwarka and Mathura, but at the same time, he still shows these powers of Krishna, or these qualities of Krishna, that make him like an ordinary human being. So the mixture of these qualities creates the bewilderment of the people. So particularly here, he's not showing powers at all. He's just praising the sages and saying, you're such great devotees and we should take shelter of you, etc. So this is the cause of bewilderment. So even the most learned persons get bewildered by this. So that means that people, by studying scriptures, they understand the nature of the Supreme Lord, that he is different from the jivas, he is the controller of material world, he's the creator of everything, he destroys everything, etc. He's the control of karma, all that. So from scripture we become very learned and we understand the position of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, in that sense, we are learned. So those type of learned people get bewildered when they see Krishna, because it's quite different. And we see even Brahma gets bewildered by this, and David does get bewildered. So that's one level of learning, we can say. But with the most intelligent people, the most learned person, of course, knows more. Not just the powers of God, he will also know the sweetness of God. And if he knows that, then generally he becomes attracted to that. And then he will appreciate Krishna for his human-like qualities. Even if he appreciates his greatness, he will also appreciate the sweetness of his qualities. And so that's the most learned person, not just a highly learned person, but the most learned person. He will understand the conclusion of scripture, and he will not be confused by the way that Krishna acts in all these situations. So, of course, in relation to the devotee, whether it is Krishna or Vishnu, in either case, the Lord has very great attraction to the devotee. He's in a very special position. So even Vishnu will make statements that I am under the control of my devotee. And he will do activities that show that, such as in the case of the attraction to Ambarish Maharaj. So the Lord gave him his Sudarshan Chakra for his own use. So the Lord, even in the form of Vishnu, has a very special attraction to the devotees of the Lord. And thus, not surprising that Krishna would also praise the devotees here, just as Vishnu praises the devotees also and says, I'm under their control, I'm in their hearts, they're in mine, etc. So even Vishnu can say this. So Krishna also makes statements like this. So if the Lord praises the devotee, and it's not even Krishna doing that, it is not a remarkable thing. It is a fact that the Lord in the form of Vishnu or Krishna, they're attracted to the devotee in a very special way. And therefore they will praise the devotees. So that is not unique to worship of Krishna, but any type of devotee has that same respect from the Supreme Lord, because bhakti attracts the Supreme Lord. In the Nectar of Devotion, of course, there it says that if a devotee has prema, then Krishna is most attracted to that devotee, and he falls under his control. But even if he's not on that high level of prema, still the Lord is attracted to a person who's doing sadhana more than he's attracted to a person who's doing jnana or karma or yoga. And Krishna directly states that in the 11th canto. And even if the person has mixed bhakti, the Lord is very attracted. So therefore, the Lord was attracted to Gajendra. And he didn't have pure bhakti, he had mixed bhakti. He was trying to get out of the clutches of the crocodile and praying to the Lord. So it was not pure bhakti, not Suda bhakti, but the Lord appeared and rescued him. It's attracted to him. So though that's a unique quality in prema, still it spreads through all types of devotees. The Lord is very attracted to the devotee. And of course this quality is, we can say, one of the outstanding features of the Lord. He has many qualities like power, etc. But our acharyas point out that bhaktavatsala, affection for the devotee, that's his supreme quality. And because of that, he may contradict other rules and whatever like that, because he has affection for his devotees. So, because of that, Krishna has a very special position. All the forms of the Lord are attracted to the devotee, but of course, and the devotees are attracted to the Lord. But the devotees who are attracted to Krishna, particularly in Vrindavan, have a greater attraction for Krishna than the other people have for other forms of the Lord. And consequently, Krishna has greater attraction for them. So he's more under their control. Well, Krishna's under, the Lord's under the control of all the devotees, but Krishna is particularly under the control of his devotees. And therefore, his pastimes become more remarkable because he displays that in many ways, in many surprising ways that the other forms of the Lord do not display. So we get the example of Krishna getting tied up by Mother Yasoda. So we don't see that in other forms of the Lord. But why does Krishna get tied up? Because he agrees that he should get punished by Mother Yasoda, because Mother Yasoda is getting tired. And she wants to take care of Krishna in this way by punishing him. So he agrees. He is under the control of Mother Yasoda's desire, even in spite of the fact that he wants to play. Because of this very strong desire of Mother Yasoda, then Krishna agrees. The pastime of getting tied up, we do not see such a pastime with the other forms of the Lord, but we see that with Krishna. Why? Because Krishna's more under control of the devotee there. The devotee has such a great attraction for the Lord that is remarkable. So, therefore, Krishna himself, his form and his qualities, etc., create that type of intense attraction, more intense attraction, and consequently Krishna becomes more attracted to those devotees and he's more under their control. So he will become the servant of the devotee more in the form of Krishna than he does in other forms of the Lord. So that's why it becomes an outstanding feature of Krishna, his human-like nature. He acts more like a human, not like the Supreme Lord, in relation to his devotees because of that attraction to his devotees in a certain mood. So for some, this will be bewildering. For the devotees, most learned devotees who have great bhakti and attraction for Krishna, it's not bewildering. It is very relishable and creates the highest bliss when they see him act in this way. For those who are expecting something else to see the greatness of the Lord, they will be confused by this issue. So different devotees are of different qualification. They have different features of the Lord that they're attracted to. And the Lord responds to that. So those who want to see the powerful aspect of God, then they will worship those particular forms and realize those forms that show great powers. Persons who want complete sweetness, they worship Krishna and then they realize Krishna. And those who have a mixture, then they will have sometimes Krishna, and sometimes he shows powers, sometimes he shows no powers, like this in this case. So, according to the different types of devotees, then Krishna manifests different forms for them, or different forms of the Lord, even. So this is not surprising. Why? Because Krishna responds to his devotees. And therefore, he fulfills their particular desires. And he appears in those and acts in such a way that they are completely satisfied with that particular form. So in this way, one should not think of the human-like qualities of Krishna as an imperfection. Rather, they are a response to the devotees who want to see Krishna in that way. And therefore, he is acting in this way. And it creates sweetness in his pastimes.
Maharaj, we see like devotees in Vrindavan never accepted Krishna as the Supreme Lord. But here we are trained and a lot of the people, everybody is told that he is the Supreme Lord. And then our goal, especially in Abhram Gaudiya Madhava Sampradaya, is Goloka. So how the changeover will happen for the devotees? Like we have been trained, we have been practiced in Sadhana level. Supreme is the Supreme Lord, then how the changeover happens?
So in sadhana, it's essential that we understand the difference between the Supreme Lord and the Jiva. The Lord is never under the control of Maya. Jiva is subject to Maya. And Jiva is eternally the servant of the Lord. He's not independent, he is dependent. So those are the basic type of knowledge we need to begin bhakti. But then when we come to Supreme Lord, he has form, qualities, and activities. And he has different forms. And those different forms display different amounts of powers. So Vishnu displays a lot of powers, like that. Ramchandra displays a lot of power, but he has some sweetness. And then we have Krishna, shows mostly sweetness, and he often hides his powers. So if one is attracted to Krishna, then of course even Krishna will display different amounts of sweetness. So in Vrindavan he shows most sweetness, there's minimum of powers. And in Dwarka we'll say more powers and a little bit less sweetness there. So there's various degrees of sweetness of Supreme Lord manifesting until we get to Vrindavan Krishna. So in Dwarka, they realize Krishna is Supreme Lord. At the same time, they have the sweetness. They appreciate the sweetness of Krishna. But it is less than in Vrindavan, the sweetness, because of that idea of Krishna as Supreme Lord that restricts that sweetness. So in Vrindavan, then one realizes Krishna's sweetness without that restriction. Even though, as a devotee, we start out with, okay, Krishna, Supreme Lord, and whatever. But when we choose the form of Krishna, and we begin to appreciate his various activities and his qualities with his manifest in relation to his devotees, then that attraction to the sweetness of Krishna dominates. And then we more or less forget about the idea of the, you know, Krishna as Supreme Lord, etc.
We see in the Vrindavan, the sweetness is prominent, but in Dwaraka, sweetness as well as his opulence, means power also, both are mixed in Dwaraka. So we can say that those who are in Vrindavan, those who see the experience only sweetness aspects, and in Dwaraka, and they experience both aspects, sweetness as well as power.
Well, there is a display of power in Vrindavan. Krishna kills demons, but it is covered up. So Krishna kills Putana, but then everybody is surprised, but then they say, oh, how did that happen? They don't really know. Krishna goes in the mouth of Agasura, and then Agasura chokes. And then Agasura's soul merges in Krishna. So the devatas are very shocked by that. They start praising him and say, the Supreme Lord has liberated a demon, etc. like that. Cowherd boys are not really too concerned about this at all. So though they see that power of Krishna, they're not so attracted to it. So the powers are manifested in Vrindavan, but sometimes it's hidden, as in the case of Putana, and nobody knows how she died, that he sucked out her life air, so it's hidden. Sometimes the cowherd boys see him kill a demon, or we see with Kaliya that everybody sees Krishna dancing on top of Kaliya. So the powers are manifested, and they appreciate it. But again, the sweetness and their relationship with Krishna overcomes that, and then they're involved with their sweetness again. So there's some experience, but it becomes a minor factor there.
No, my question is that, see, in Dwaraka, especially the queen also, they experience both aspects.
Yeah.
Sweetness and power. But in Vrindavan, they're lacking this power aspects. So can you say that they're experiencing more happiness than those in Dwaraka than in Brajavasi?
They experience the bliss as much, more intense in Vrindavan.
What about Dwaraka? Because they are having both experiences.
Yeah, but still it is, they have experience, but it is mixed with that Aishvarya. So therefore, the queens of Dwaraka, their Madhurya Rasa is less intense than that in Vrindavan, the gopis.
Like Manas, you were saying this, this bring the point of this Ambarish Manas. See, in the verse itself, it said that, you know, although Lord is Swatantra, means he is fully independent, but he comes under the control of the devotees. By coming under the control of the devotee, is he not losing his power?
Well, this is a manifestation of his Bhakta Vatsalya. He's attracted to devotees. So if he was just independent, had no attraction to devotees, no affection for them, yes, then he wouldn't do anything for his devotees. He wouldn't be under the control. But then if we say, oh, Krishna is indifferent, that would also be a fault. So Krishna must have attraction for the devotees. That's a good quality, not a bad quality. And because of that, then he agrees to what the devotee wants. He falls under their control in that sense.
But still he remains Swatantra.
Yeah, he's always Swatantra in the ontological sense. But yet, he gets controlled by his devotees. He does what his devotees desire. Another way of explaining it is that he's attracted to the devotees because the devotees have bhakti. But the bhakti itself is Krishna's Sarup Shakti. So it's part of Krishna. So he's under control of himself ultimately, by being under control of the devotee.
Can you say that because he act like he's not Swatantra, it's like acting, but he is fully Swatantra?
Well, if you say he's acting, then that would be a falsity. And therefore, it's a falsity. I mean, actually, he doesn't really have any feeling for Mother Yashoda. He's just doing it to please her, but he actually has no affection for her. But that would be false also, because he has great affection for his devotees. So that it's not just an act. So Krishna's not just putting on an act of crying, but actually he's very happy, but he's crying when his tears come to his eyes. If it's all an act, then we can say it's deceptive. And that would also be a fault on the Lord, that he deceives people into making them believe that he is under their control, but actually he's not. So that would also be a fault, that he's pretending, but he's deceptive. Yeah? So it's the nature of the Supreme Lord. He has opposite qualities. This is his achintya shakti, that opposite qualities can exist in the Lord. He can be the most powerful, simultaneously completely submissive to his devotee.
Then why do we say this Lord is Swarat then? Swarat. Then why do we use this word Swarat? That's for the independent.
Because ultimately the jivas are a manifestation of one of his shaktis. The jiva shakti, material energy, is his maya shakti. Spiritual world is manifested through his Swarup Shakti. And it's all under the control of the Lord. So ultimately, the Lord is the master of everything. And it's he that expresses his pastimes in the spiritual world as his bliss through his Shaktis and through the Jivas. And in a process of doing that, he comes under the control of his devotees. It's all an expression of his joy and his ananda and the workings of his various spiritual shaktis. But the shaktis are all ultimately under the Lord.
Can you say that in the beginning one might understand that, yeah, he is a Swarat, but once one advances in spiritual life, he can understand he's this aspect of, so that he is not Swarat, he is dependent, he is asatantra.
Well, he is dependent on his devotees, but then his devotees, only the devotees, not materialists. And why are they devotees? Because they have his Swarup Shakti in them. So then it comes back to, you know, it's part of himself. They're like part of himself at that point.
That means if you say that bhakti is Lord himself, his Swarup Shakti, that means, and bhakti controls the Supreme Lord, that means Supreme Lord controls himself.
Yeah.
Is not the devotee. The devotee possesses the bhakti, which is the energy of the Supreme Lord.
But then it becomes part of the devotee.
Yeah.
This as we cannot, the Swarup Shakti is called the Swarup Shakti because it's non-different from the Supreme Lord.
Yeah.
We cannot separate the Hladini Shakti from Krishna and think of them as two separate things. And it's, the Shakti is belonging to Krishna, and the Swarup Shakti is intrinsically part of the Supreme Lord. So that Shakti also becomes part of the Jiva. So it becomes part of him also. So the Jivas in the spiritual world are completely different from the Jivas in the material world, because they've got this Swarup Shakti in them. And Jivas in the material world don't have that. So there's a difference in them. And because they've got the Swarup Shakti, we can say they're also more non-different. Of course, Jiva Shakti in general is non-different from Lord. Even Maya Shakti is non-different from the Lord. But the devotees in the spiritual world, they're very much like the Supreme Lord in one sense. They remain Jiva, in that sense, different. But they're also very Abheda, are non-different in the sense that, they got the Hladini Shakti and some bit Shaktis within them at that point. So very much like the Lord. Yeah. That means the devotion, bhakti comes from bhakti. Bhakti comes from the Supreme Lord, goes into the devotees, the devotees give mercy to other people, and they start doing bhakti. So, but ultimately coming from the Lord, goes through the devotee, goes to another person, he gets bhakti, and then it's back to the Supreme Lord again.
Maharaj, can we understand what Prabhu is talking, that Lord is Swatantra? It means that Lord decides on his desire. Like he is a Swatantra, that's why he desired to be under the control of the devotees. Because as an individual, nobody wants to be under the control of anybody. So do we understand this?
Ultimately, he is the master of his Shaktis. And of course, one could say, well, his Shaktis are acting in such spontaneous ways. Does he really control them at all? So what separate power does he have? And then in answer to that, we can say that he is the one that decides. It's his desire, ultimately, that rests with Supreme. In that sense, he is independent. So he decides to make the Shaktis do something like that. So the desire is with the Lord, ultimately.
Maharaj, this generally a sadhaka initially appreciates Krishna as a lot of Aishwarya and the power, supreme personality of Godhead and things like that. But he has an opportunity to enter into the sweet pastimes of Krishna and Vraj. A sadhaka is possible. But you see, in the case of Lakshmi, she already has an Aishwarya bhav, but she cannot enter Vraj. How to understand that, Maharaj?
Well, when we're sadhakas, we can do so. If we're siddha, then generally we fix our relationship with the Lord, so we don't change it after that point. And of course, Lakshmi is a separate, not a jiva anyway, so she's a special tattva. So in relation to Narayan, then her particular bhava is fixed in that way, so therefore she cannot change.
But she still desires to go to...
That merely means that Krishna is so attractive that even she gets attracted to him. But obviously she can't go further than that. Even Brahma desires to be a member of Vrindavan, but he doesn't actually do that. He goes back to his post as Brahma, whatever. Of course, he's got a material body, but Lakshmi's got a spiritual body, but hers is, you know, fixed with Vishnu. So, but the nature of Krishna is he can attract everybody, even other forms of the Lord. Well, in that sense, if they're attracted to Krishna. Huh? Well, we say the gopis, that definitely. Their relationship with Krishna is more intense than that of Lakshmi.
When you see the pastimes of Kaliya, when the wife of Kaliya, you know, is said that there are more forceful agreement with Lakshmi because they got the lotus feet of Krishna. And the Lakshmi is Surubha, also Surubha Sakti, but here devotee is giving more priority here. Although there are jiva, but Lakshmi is, we cannot separate Lakshmi from the Lord.
Well, in the sense they can directly participate in the pastimes of Krishna, whereas Lakshmi cannot because she hasn't got the body. Her body is different. So she cannot go into the Rasleela or whatever like that because her body is different. Huh? So Krishna has pastimes in Vrindavan, so all the people there have suitable forms so they can participate in his pastimes. So in that sense they're more fortunate.
Last question is, Manas, you see, sometimes although Lord has energy, sometimes Lord energy work independently. Like if you take the pastime of Agasura, although Krishna knows this, that was not a cave, really it was a snake and it was like a trap. But Krishna could have stopped them, but he became like helpless there. Couldn't stop them going into the cave, into the snake's mouths. So sometimes you see that Lord energy, which is part of the Lord, is working independently.
Yeah. Well, somewhat independently. Ultimately, it's Shakti. It's not completely independent. But spontaneously, we can say the Lord allows his Shaktis to operate to create surprises even for himself. So therefore, he's surprised. Oh, the Shakti is doing this. Oh, that's surprising. Grandra Sushma.